Thank you very much, Auntie Vicky. Do keep that those passages. You could keep a finger in one and another finger in the other. And let's pray as we start. Sorry. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Help us to know Jesus more. Lord, speak through these words, Lord, and help us to understand you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to talk about the greatest discovery that we could ever make in our lives. The greatest discovery we make, a discovery that brings true freedom and life in all its fullness, is a discovery that nothing, no limitation, no situation or problem in our lives can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing in our past, no guilt, no regret, no shame, no circumstance in our life, no situation at work or at home that sort of seems intractable or holding us back in some way, no limitation in our life, no disability that we may face. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Paul, at the end of Romans 8, that we just heard a little bit read from, a little bit of that chapter, he says this: "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in that chapter, he addresses some of the things that I've just been mentioning, some of the things which we might feel are kind of like barriers separating us from the life that we long to know. He starts with the guilt and regret. He says that can't separate us from the love of God. In verse 1 of Romans 8, he says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He turns later on in Romans 8 to look at all the kind of situations that we could think could separate us from the life that we long to know. And he says, I'm picking it up in verse 34. Verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Paul knew that. He's utterly convinced. No trouble of any kind, no lack or limitation in our lives can separate us from the love of God. He knew that with all his heart. And we can know that with our heart too, with all our hearts. And the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about this topic today because it's the Holy Spirit who makes that reality so real to us in our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit who shows us that. The Holy Spirit who came as fire on the day of Pentecost, as we heard. I heard recently in a talk by the Archbishop of Canterbury about a saint from the last century called Mother Maria. She was a Russian nun who lived with a little community in Paris in the 1930s, working to serve and defend the poor and the refugees of that city. And when the Nazis arrived in the 1940s, she continued to serve the Jews in that place. And she was arrested and taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp. And on Good Friday 1945, she stepped forward voluntarily to go to the gas chamber in the place of another woman. She gave her life. And one of the things that the Archbishop was drawing out of her life was that she was such an unconventional saint. She had a really kind of bumpy and difficult life. She had none of the kind of things that you'd expect would make it easy to be a saint. She was a single mum. She was divorced. She did what she did while bringing up two children in Paris in very tough circumstances. And apparently she was a very unconventional kind of nun. Her neighbours used to complain about the noise from her rooms because she'd held parties till late into the night for anyone who would come and to share in the love of Christ. And people who saw her situation, the things that she faced in her life, tried to persuade her to not be a nun, to take an easier path. But when she was working out what God was calling her to do with her life, she wrote this. She said, either Christianity is fire, or there's no such thing. She was utterly convinced that none of the problems or the difficulties in her life could hold her back from living the life that God had for her. Nothing could separate her from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because that love is like a fire that burns. It's the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples at Pentecost, it came like fire. The church was born. And it's grown in every generation when men and women like Mother Maria, who are aware of problems and limitations in their life, say, you know what? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate God's life flowing through me. And what I want to look at today is how that can be our experience, how that can be our conviction too. And as I say, it's all to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. All through Romans 8, Paul says that it's the Holy Spirit that assures us that nothing can separate us from God's love. And what I hope that we'll leave today knowing is that God works by His Spirit in ways that overcome anything that holds life back. And when I say that, I don't want us to get confused, because I think that God works in all sorts of ways. But we know that the Holy Spirit overcomes anything that holds life back, because as it says in Romans 8, chapter 11, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Not even death could hold the life of the Spirit back. And we need to see how the Holy Spirit does things in different ways. Sometimes God overcomes the things in our life that seem to sort of hold life back by taking away the barriers, working in miraculous ways, healings, breakthroughs, deliverance, new beginnings, all signs of the new life that the Holy Spirit brings, the new creation that was begun when Jesus rose from the dead. And sometimes, just as miraculously actually, God works by His Spirit through the very limitations that we think would otherwise hold life back. Signs that actually God's life, as he showed through Jesus Christ, comes through the tough things. There is nothing more tough than the cross, and Jesus faced that and showed that life came through even that. And we need to see that so that we don't get confused, that when things in our life remain that seem difficult, we don't see them as signs that God is not present by His Spirit, but actually God is present by His Spirit in every situation in our lives, bringing His life. I like the Charlie Brown cartoons. And there's one in which Lucy says to Charlie Brown, she's sitting on a deck chair, and she says, you know, Charlie Brown, life is a lot like a cruise ship. You can either set your deck chair up looking out to the back of the boat, looking at where life has been, or you can set up your deck chair at the front, looking at where you're going. And she says, Charlie Brown, which way is your deck chair facing? And Charlie Brown, he sighs and he says, I'm still just trying to unfold my deck chair. And I identify with Charlie Brown, because we can feel like that, can't we? But, you know, I'm beginning to see that if we'll let Him, God will show us that we don't need to have our deck chair of life all set up and everything perfect, for Him to come by His Spirit and pour His life through us. And actually, when we discover that, it's the greatest freedom of all, because we can pray with confidence, praying for God to move mountains, and He sometimes does in the physical more often than we can imagine. But knowing that if somehow God answers the prayer slightly differently to how we wanted Him to, that if limitations remain in our life, if things remain that we wouldn't necessarily choose, that God is still just as powerfully at work in our lives by His Holy Spirit, overcoming anything that can hold life back. And that's why I wanted us to look at that little bit of Romans 8 that Auntie Vicky read to us. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Paul describes the work of the Holy Spirit like a new birth. He says that it's a new birth that creation has been longing for, groaning for. creation that's been held back by sin and all the ways in which the fall has marred creation, is waiting for the new life that God brought by his Holy Spirit. And he says there in verse 23 that we have the first fruits of that life by the Holy Spirit. That is why when we pray in the power of the Spirit for God's healing to come in a moment, sometimes God does contract the normal span of healing, and he brings healing, because that is when Jesus returns in the new creation, there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death. And God does that by his Spirit, because by his Holy Spirit now we have the first fruits of the new creation. There's something so present, so real about this new creation here and now. And on the day of Pentecost, that was when it all began. That was when the church was born. In our first reading, we heard how the disciples were praying eagerly for the Spirit to come, and he came, and he came in power. They all spoke in different tongues so that everybody in Jerusalem could hear about Jesus in their own native language. And then the work began of taking the good news of Jesus out to all the corners of the world. And the signs of that new life began straight away. All through the book of Acts, we see healings. We see the unity that comes, the common life, as the disciples share together in the life of God. Works of justice, of compassion, a new community living in the power of the Holy Spirit, showing a foretaste of what the new creation is all about. And Paul says that we've become a people of hope. Hope is a word that comes all the way through Romans 8. Because we're a community pointing towards where history is moving. That's our life. That's what we're about here in Finsbury Park. That's what I love. That's why the pastorates are so important, because they're little communities where we live in the power of the Spirit. I'm really excited because one of the pastorates has devoted this whole term to looking at the ministry of the Spirit. And they're looking at how we can pray for one another in the power of the Spirit to see the Spirit come more and more in our lives. So I love Soul in the City, because it's a little taste of that life being shared out across our streets and across our estates, across our community. And we're seeing healings, transformation of lives, real and living hope here and now in 2011, just as there in the year 2030, or whenever it was, when the day of Pentecost came. And it's right that Paul uses the word hope, because as well as this life of the Spirit being a present reality, it's also very much about a future hope, something more to come. We were singing, there must be more than this. Come, Holy Spirit, because when the Spirit comes, we begin to long for the more that is to come. We're not fully there yet. As Paul says in verse 23, he says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have that taste, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. There is this groaning that still continues in our own life, and as we reach out to those who are groaning in the world, and it's a groaning that's of the Spirit. That's what's so exciting. It's not just us going, oh my goodness, why is life like this? It's the Holy Spirit who's coming into our hearts and sharing that groan. It's God giving us a groaning for the more that is to come. So that's why Paul says in verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. He's saying that even when we're lost for words, as we look at situations in our own life or in the life of the world, things that we may say are so intractable, the Spirit comes and prays the prayers that we don't know what to pray. He prays God's prayers that God's kingdom may come. No situation, no problem is separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. And so the Holy Spirit comes both as a foretaste of heaven, the first fruits, and also a fire that burns in our hearts as we long for the more that is to come, the completion of the victory that Jesus won on the cross and in his resurrection. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago that I've been reading a book by someone called Francis Chan, who is a pastor in America, and he's written a book about the Holy Spirit. And in that book, he says he was once asked, who's the most Spirit-filled person that you've ever met? And he replied that without a doubt, it was Joni Erickson Tada. You may have heard of her. She was injured in 1967 in a diving accident and was left quadriplegic. She has no feeling or use of her body beneath her shoulders. And in hospital, as she lay there and this was beginning to sink in, what had happened, she just wanted to end her life. That's all that she wanted. She says that. The thought of spending the rest of her life dependent upon others for almost everything left her shattered. But through the love of friends who came and prayed for her, she surrendered her life to God. She said, okay, God, I don't know why I'm in this situation, but this is my life. I give it to you. And the Holy Spirit filled her life and has used her in the most amazing way over the last 37 years. The Holy Spirit has poured a life through her. Her charity, which is called Joni and Friends, has helped thousands around the world with disabilities. She set up a program called Wheels for the World, which makes sure that people in countries where there are not enough wheelchairs get a wheelchair. She's an amazing artist. She paints by holding a brush in her teeth. And she's a gifted speaker going around building up the church. But Francis Chan says this, it's not because of these accomplishments that I consider her the most Spirit-filled person I know. It's to do with the fact that you can't spend 10 minutes with Joni before she breaks out in a song, quotes scripture, or shares a touching and timely word of encouragement. I've never seen the fruit of the Spirit more obviously displayed in a person's life as when I'm with Joni. I can't seem to have a conversation with Joni without shedding tears. Her life at every level gives evidence of the Spirit's work in and through her. And I feel so challenged as I hear that, because I know how easily I let the problems of my life become like kind of barriers where I say, Lord, unless you can take this away, I don't really think I can know the fullness of life that you called me to. And I saw an interview with her on YouTube, and she says that there are many struggles. She isn't simply just kind of reconciled to her disability. She wakes up many days wishing she didn't have to have someone come in and wash her and do everything for her. But she says that when she feels like that, she asks God for strength, and he comes by his Spirit, and he gives her that strength. And her life, to me, is a testimony of that truth. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's his promise. And the Holy Spirit comes to bring life in every way and in every situation. God moves in miraculous ways by his Spirit, so much more than I think we often realize. He is a living God, and new creation has begun. And the only mistake we can ever make when we pray is not to pray too big a prayer. We can't make a mistake in praying for more miracles, more amazing things. The only mistake we can ever make in our lives is thinking that the love and the life of God are somehow at the other side of a particular situation or problem or limitation in our life. They're not. The Apostle Paul saw God move in every way, both in the miraculous ways and sometimes when he talks about a thorn in his own flesh, and he says so many times, he said, Lord, take it away. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And when he realized that, he had true freedom, because he could say, I could boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, because Christ's power may rest on me. And he came to know, and that's really what I want to just leave with you today, he came to know the win-win of the Christian life. When we pray for the Holy Spirit to come, we cannot lose, because God will do, if we trust him, if we surrender our life to him, God will do the most amazing things. And all we have to do is to trust that in whichever way God works, and I know it's totally human, we wouldn't be human if we didn't want God to take away the tough things, but it's totally trusting in God that and as I say, it's a tragedy when the church stops praying for miracles, because God is at work miraculously by his Spirit. But what is equally a tragedy is if we think that God is only at work that way, and that if somehow God leaves us with a particular situation to deal with, we let ourselves be cut off from the amazing reality that God can work through any limitation, any situation in our lives. Mother Maria knew that, who I mentioned. Joni knew that. We can each know that in our lives. And then we become people who see miracles in all kinds of ways. That is what the Holy Spirit came to do, to assure us that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. Paul says there in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. You each have been called according to God's purpose. Nothing in your life can separate you from the love of God. He can work in everything to the good. And our job, I think, at Pentecost is to say, come, Holy Spirit, and just to utterly trust him that he comes. When we say, come, Holy Spirit, he comes, and he only brings life. He brings it in his way, in his timing, and in utter love. And it's the answer to every fear. So we're not left thinking that God is only with us if certain situations happen that we're looking for. Paul says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen. Would you like to stand? We're going to come to communion now. I'm going to...